2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'm not going to be preaching out of that verse, but I'm telling you that verse is very powerful in that it deals with succession. Someone said it this way, where there's no success without succession is failure. Amen. What are you doing to pass on what has been given to you, passed down to you? Are you passing that on to the next generation? And you smaller kids and you younger kids in here, young people in here, the same applies to you. What is being given to you through preaching and through your parents and through truth and through what you know, God's going to hold you responsible for passing that on, not just living it yourself, but passing it on to others. And he said here, what you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You ought to underscore that. There's always a contrast emphasized when the term this life is used to that of eternal life and of the spiritual life. It's referring to the earthly life. No man that warreth entangleth himself. Entanglement takes place with worldliness. And it takes you away from warring. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's remain standing for prayer, then you can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Lord, that you will help me to be sensitive, Lord, to you. I pray you'd fill me with the Holy Ghost. I pray, dear Lord, you'll get the glory, that you'll be magnified this morning. Lord, we sure love you. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be standing behind the sacred desk having just read the sacred scripture. I don't deserve that. But Lord, I pray this morning that we would focus in on what you deserve. You deserve our praise. You deserve our worship. Lord, you deserve for us to live for you full time, not part time. Have your way this morning. Anoint us from on high. Give us that fresh unction, fresh oil that makes preaching effective and powerful and challenging. And Lord, may we receive from you what you have for us today. Lord, I pray you'll speak to us, speak to our faith. Lord, we're not asking, Lord, this morning that you speak to our emotions. They can come and go. Those can be high right now and on the bottom in the next 10 minutes, but truth never changes. Help us, Lord, to respond spiritually, Lord, to truth this morning. Save sinners in the house of the Lord. Stir the saints of God. Help those, Lord, that are hurting, those that are being attacked from every angle. Minister to them this morning. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open if you would, please. We're going to be looking in verse number 3 and 4. We're going to be looking at a verse here. It says, thou therefore. Notice the way that it starts. I know I commented when we come through there a moment ago, I commented a little bit about verse number 2. Well, the word therefore in verse number 3 links back and gets that. It come through there about what you've been taught, what you've heard preached. He said, commit thou also to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I don't think it's out of place. The Bible's perfect. Amen. The King James Bible is the preserved, inspired word of God. No doubt about that. But it comes right into verse number 3 and it says, thou, therefore, I believe he's saying in light of that, there's going to be hardships that you're going to endure. There's going to be attacks. There's going to be afflictions. There's going to be problems that are going to come in your life. Thou therefore endure hardness. The word hardness there has the idea of affliction, hardships, trouble. In fact, the word hardship is used in verse 9 of the same chapter. Wherein I suffer trouble. Same identical word that is translated there in our King James Bible as the word hardness in verse 3 is translated trouble in verse number 9. It's also used in the same book, 2 Timothy 4 in verse number 5, but watch thou in all things endure, here it is, afflictions. And I think that it's necessary to point out that if you are doing what God tells us to do in verse number 2, that there's going to be an attack on you in verse 3. Thou therefore endure. When afflictions come and troubles come and hardships come, quitting is not the option. Amen. Backing up, compromising, holding up a white surrender flag to the enemy is not the answer. When you're trying to receive truth and be the instrument of passing on truth to other faithful men that shall be able to teach others also, you can believe it, friend. You are in the crosshairs. You are in the sights of the enemy. He's going to try to knock you out and shoot you down. Amen. Why? Because he wants to put a stop to progression. And progress and, amen, succession. He doesn't want the next generation to have what you have. Amen. Now, if I was the devil, that's who I would be hunting for. If I was going to attack somebody, I wouldn't look for somebody sitting on the stool of do-nothing. I wouldn't look for somebody that's already idle and inactive and apathetic and could care less. I wouldn't fool with them. Why? Because they're no threat. I'd look for that person that's open to receive truth from those that are walking before us, those that have preached to us, those that have taught us, whether it be the preacher or parents or grandparents or relatives or a friend, whoever, that has taught us truth, that has revealed us truth. Amen? I would look for that person that's open for that. I'd want to shut that down. I would want to shut down that reception of truth. Wasn't aiming to preach right there, but it's coming. You know what James says? Be not a hearer only, but be a doer of the word also. Amen? So if I was the enemy, I'd look for that person that is saying, preach to me, preacher. Teach me. I want to walk in truth. I want to live out what the Bible says. But then, Brother Mark, I would also want, and of course, if you find a person that's receptive to the Word of God, feed me, teach me, amen, that same person is not interested in it stopping with them. That same person is interested with one hand receiving truth and with the other hand handing it off to somebody else. Amen. God doesn't want you. I heard Brother Todd Bell in one of his devotionals. We support Brother Todd, missionary, one of the greatest missionaries I've ever known, ever heard of, ever read about. And he's in our day and we support him here. Brother Todd Bell said, don't be an island. Don't be a spiritual island where you have no connections to nobody around you and nobody else. Amen. You're just to your little self and you're in your own little world. You know what that's called? Isolation. Nowhere taught in the scripture that God's people are to be isolationist. We are to be separationist. We are to be separated. Yes, we are to be unplugged from the world in that the world does not influence me and that I'm not following its patterns. Amen. But far as me being isolated and me being an island to myself, that's not scriptural. But that person that's interested in receiving truth is also interested in giving it out, passing it on. Thou therefore endure hardness. Don't you see that connection right there? Do you see that that endure hardness is connected to service and ministry? Amen. A lot of people don't, listen, a lot of people are avoiding ministry because of that. They're avoiding a surrendered life because of that. How many times you've heard people say, Breach, I take two steps forward and I go back three steps. Every little advancement I try to make toward God, I get bombarded with attacks from the enemy. Well, what do you expect? Do you expect the enemy to pat you on the back and say, good job? Do you think the enemy's going to pat you on the back and, amen, and buy you a trinket at Walmart and honor you? No, he hates you. He hates the fact that you're a receptacle of truth and a receiver of truth, and that you are also an instrument of relaying that truth on to others. He can't stand that. He hates that. Why? Listen, I'm going to get off that a minute maybe. Why do you think he attacks people like that? Why is the enduring hardness attached to that? I'll tell you why. Because the devil knows how powerful truth is. He knows how powerful truth is. And he knows, Brother Ben, that if truth can be given to you, from whether it's your parents, me, Sunday school teacher, or you read it yourself, that truth is not going to be dormant in your life, because it's a seed. And that seed gets planted in your life, amen. It's going to grow. It's going to come up. And the devil don't like that. He can't stand that. So his thought is, if I want to get the next generation, is I need to shut down truth to them. I need to stop by attacking with hardships and afflictions and troubles those that are wanting to be used of God to pass on truth. Y'all see that? Y'all can say amen to that. It won't hurt my feelings none. Do you see that? I mean, I'm not preaching opinions. Right here it is in the text. Right here it is in context. Endure, thou therefore, when you see a therefore, you're supposed to stop and see what it is there for. Therefore, thou therefore endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier. And so I want to focus in on that this morning, on enduring hardness. We focused last Sunday on too hard. Here we have hardness referenced in the scripture. Hardness. Hard times. Hard circumstances. Hard issues. People's going through things now that would fall under the heading of hardness. People are dealing with physical hardness. Sickness. Various infirmities, breakdowns. Physically. People's going through all kinds of things. Physically. Amen. I feel like I'm falling apart. I'm serious. Over the last 6 months, I'm telling you, I have things that ache that I didn't even know existed. Amen. I never have had to get up real slow, not because of pain, but just to avoid it. Because I know it's there, I know it's lingering in there somewhere, and if I get up too quickly or get up maybe just a little bit wrong or whatever, it's going to slap me in the face. Amen. I mean, falling apart. I told somebody the other day that, and they said, and told them a few things that's going on. They said, they didn't try to encourage me. They said, yeah, Preach, you are falling apart. Well, that helped me. That really encouraged me. I felt edified. But people's going through physical hardness that they're trying to endure. They're trying to just deal with it. Some are dealing with financial hardness. And I believe that's coming in the future in this country. I promise you that. Our economy right now is booming, probably the best it's been according to the statistics and according to the things, Dow Jones and all that stuff, probably the best that's been in over 20-something years. But all it's going to take, well, I don't want to get political right here, so that'd upset some of you probably. But our country's doing well. Who would have ever thought the minimum wage at Walmart just went, what was it, to $11 an hour? And it what did it go to at Chick-fil-A? $12 an hour minimum wage at Chick-fil-A. It's booming. The economy is booming. A lot of people's off have been taken off of their food stamps. Say amen right there. And so forth, and I'm meddling now, but that there's a reason for that. But that's not always going to be like that. Listen, that's going to be short-lived, I'm afraid. Maybe 2 years more, maybe six more years possibly, but it's going to be short-lived. Are we ready? Are we preparing for hardness? Financial hardness, social hardness, relationships, domestical hardness, hardness that's hitting the home, hardness that's hitting marriages, hardness that's hitting parents and raising children. Have you ever seen such in our day of hardness that's hitting the house, our homes? Hardness. People's families blowing apart that you never thought would. Amen. Why? Listen, hardness is a part of the journey. You're not going to be able to make a geographical move anywhere, a spiritual move anywhere to another location and evade it. You're not going to do it. It's a part of the journey. Hardness. Spiritual hardness. How many ministries that I've heard of late said this has been the hardest year, this past year, been the hardest year that we've ever had in the ministry. Amen. Are y'all listening? Been very difficult to us here at RBT. Been very difficult to me here as pastor. The last year, actually close to the last 2 years, it's been tough. Some hard licks. We've had some hard licks, but just to let you know, the lights are still on. Amen. The message is still going forth. Hallelujah, that's right. We're still supporting missionaries and we're still doing a work for God. The devil may try to stomp out the fire, but you know what happens when you try to stomp out fire as they did in the book of Acts? It spreads. Every time the devil stomps, we ought to think, I'm going to spread. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to start praying more. Every time the devil stomps, I'm gonna spread my prayer life out. I'm going to spread my devotions out. I'm going to start doing more. I'm not going to let the devil's attack cause me to start doing less and less and less and less. Because you know the end result of that is you'll come to the place where you're doing nothing. And that's where he wants you. It's where he wants you. There are two basic areas of hardness. This is a very general statement. There's two basic areas of hardness. There is righteous hardness and there is unrighteous hardness. One of the worst things, I want y'all to listen to me now. One of the worst things that you could ever get in your mind to think is that there's only righteous hardness. You say, preacher, do people think that way? Well, what do you think? What do you think people thinks about when they step away from service and surrendered life and living for God and they start going to the world? They've associated their mind that hardness is going with God, living for God, surrendering to God and doing the will of God. That's hardness. And they turn from that and they go toward the world. Are they thinking that the world doesn't have hardness? Is there any unrighteous hardness? Don't ever forget the Bible verse that says the way of a transgressor is what? I want to hear it loud. Hard. So there's righteous hardness and there's unrighteous hardness. Listen, let me ask you a question. Do you think the prodigal in Luke 15 left the house because everything was hunky-dory and fine and wonderful? He probably said out plowing the field, I'm sick of this. There's always a streak of laziness behind somebody leaving the will of God. You can believe that. Well, you know that's so. He got disgruntled about something. He got upset about something, Brother Randy. He didn't leave the Father's house to go to the far country just at a passing whim or thought. He left because he was disheartened, dissatisfied, probably with the toiling involved on the farm. Never thought nothing about, Brother Samuel. Oh, when I get to the far country, man, it's going to be costly. Never thought nothing about the unrighteous hardness. But you know what he found out? He found out that the unrighteous hardness far exceeded the hardness at the Father's house. Many times he no doubt thought, oh, if I'd have just stayed right with my Father. Oh, yeah. And boy, we could use that. We could talk about other illustrations in the Bible where people got out of the will of God. Lot pulled his family to Sodom and Gomorrah. No doubt thinking that was a good move to take and go to the well-watered plains of Sodom. But boy, was that not costly? Was that not costly? Huh? Abimelech and Naomi went to Moab, a type of the world. Was that not costly? They left, Brother Mike, Bethlehem, Judah, because of a famine. Do you think famines come when you're in the will of God? Of course they do. Now, I know you won't hear that from these big televangelists, this prosperity gospel. But you can be right in the middle of the will of God and suffer tremendously. Ask Jesus about that. Amen. All right, listen. There's a righteous hardness. That's a hardness that you and I are just going to have to face, going to have to fight, we're going to have to deal with. Amen. And that's just the way it is. There's unrighteous option. There's an unrighteous option. That is, you can turn from the will of God. You can turn from light. You can turn from truth. Amen. And you can start catering to the flesh. Amen. You can start going to the world and all of that. And you can think all day and all of your life, this is not going to cost me. But you will come to the place somewhere that you'll realize, I wished I was back in church. I wished I'd have never got out of God's will. This is the hardness of the sinful life is far costlier and worse on me than the will of God ever was. Now you know what that does to me, Brother Jeter? I tell you what that does to old Preacher Rackley. Hello. It causes me to think, all right, there's righteous hardness, there's unrighteous hardness, and we have Bible examples of the unrighteous hardness. And not only do we have Bible examples, Sister Debbie, we know, all of us know people that have made that unrighteous choice, amen, and how they have suffered. We all know that. So, Brother Mark, in light of weighing those two out, and I know people, and we've read about people, and you have, about that's went the unrighteous direction and how they've suffered, you know what I'm going to do? I believe I'm just going to stay with God, amen. Hey, man, the hardness that comes when the righteous category, you know, at least I'll have God's help. And at least I'll still have God's peace. And at least I'll still have God's joy. Amen, that's right. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, the hardness may be against me, but He won't be against me. But if I get out of His will, not only will I have hardness, but I'll have chastisement. And I don't want that, so amen right there. Boy, I got good liberty this morning. I don't know if you got good liberty to hear. But the modern day so-called Christianity is more interested in emotions than they are endurance. Lord, give me this little saying. They tend to want to replace enduring hardness with enjoying easiness. That's right. Come on now. Here's something right here. Listen, if you'll listen to preaching, it'll help you this morning. Listen to truth that I'm trying to share. It'll help you this morning. Did you know that a lot of people equate hardness with the wrong direction? Well, I must not be in the will of God. Everything's falling apart. I'm glad Jesus didn't think that way. Well, I'm not, oh man, this being beat with the cat of nine tails and the cross and all this, I must not be where I must not be where, no, no. He was in the perfect will of God. Amen. Hardness don't always mean that you're out of the will of God. It may mean you're in it. And you better be careful, as I have been trying to be careful in the last few months. Be careful, move slow, weigh everything out with truth, not feelings, not reasoning, and don't respond to nothing except the voice of the shepherd that leads his sheep. I'm not telling you what you do. I'm talking about what I've been doing. That's right. If I would have been listening to reasoning, and if I'd been listening to feelings, it is doubtful that I'd be preaching in this pulpit this morning. Are y'all listening? Running's not always the right choice. Enduring may be the right choice. Endure hardness as, amen, do you think it's going to get easier? We're on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. We've got a lot at stake. Amen, that's right. We've got a lot at stake, and the devil hates us, and we want to just serve notice. The feelings are mutual. We hate him. Do you? Amen. Everything that glitters is not gold. Whatever's flashy and attractive, and you think, man, I think I'm going to make this move right here. I think I'm going to go this direction right here. That don't mean it's the will of God. That don't mean it's the will of the Lord. You think the devil can open a door? I was talking to a preacher. I'm not going to say his name because everybody in here knows him. I was talking to a preacher this week, and he said, preacher, I had an opportunity made available to me to make a move into ministry. And he said, I'm talking about, as far as looking at it, it looked like it would have been the definite. It would be just the right thing to do. But he said, preacher, it ain't in my heart. It ain't in my heart. It's not a matter of where you could be. It's where you should be that matters. Amen. Hello. Are y'all still with me? Thank you, Sister June. I appreciate that. Amen. That's right. But listen to this. Listen to this right here. The Bible did not say in this verse for you and I to evade hardness. That is, try to avoid it. Now listen, I know, and I don't want to spend time defending each point and trying to make sure you don't misunderstand. I understand that we ought to make very sure that the hardness that we are encountering and enduring is not self-made. We ought to make sure that it's not associated with sin. It's not associated with getting out of the will of God, amen? Getting crossed up with the Lord. We ought to make sure of that. Amen. You don't want to endure that darkness or that hardness. You want to evade that. You want to try to fix that. But what's in the context of the word hardness in our scripture, you don't evade that. A war would never be won with evasive action by soldiers that was looking to avoid the fight. And I believe we have a good example of that in the Old Testament. Saul and his army could have whipped the Philistine army. Amen? But what were they doing? They were evading the problem. The Bible said they set the battle in array. That is, they were only discussing it. There's old Goliath down there. Yeah, boy, something needs to be done. Man, I'll tell you, I wish something was done. Somebody needs to do something. Then David shows up, not, listen, a teenage boy. David shows up not even told of his father to engage in any kind of warfare, just simply to take the parched corn and cheeses or whatever it was there that he was supposed to take up there and give to his brothers and see how the battle's going. But when he stepped up there and doing what his father told him to do, he heard the uncircumcised Philistine defying the armies of God, and immediately he felt like, oh, not only something needs to be done, I am going to do something. The Bible did not say there, Brother Trav, evade hardness. If you start that in your Christian walk, listen now, if I don't get done this morning, I'll come back tonight. I believe God is sending this message, Brother Craig, short I'm standing here. I'm sure of it. There's no doubt about it. The only difference is I thought I was going to be preaching it last Sunday night, and that didn't happen. It's coming down the pipeline this morning. This morning, Brother Ben, feel a witness in my soul. We're on target, and God's trying to help us. But if you get into that evasive consideration in your moves in your Christian life, that is, I'm going to see every time hardness comes how I can escape it or how I can evade it, how I can avoid it. You know what your life is always going to be? It's going to be given to change. You're going to be changing every time you turn around. Your life is going to be defined by instability. Up and down, in and out, here and gone, and there and gone, and over yonder, and in and out, and changing. The Bible said in Proverbs, meddle not with them that are given to change. And I don't want to take time to have to defend that statement. If you're in a liberal church, you ought to get out of it. Don't even say bye. Amen. I just make that little statement so you know I'm not just liberal. I'm talking about knowing the will of God. Brother Craig, 25 years ago, this past September, I was here 25 years. And I've told the Lord more than once that it'll have to be more clearer when it's my time to step down than it was for my time to step up. Because there's a whole lot more at stake now than there was 25 years ago. Amen. And I said, Lord, the same one that spoke to me clearly in 92 and told me and clarified, of which I have never doubted, to this day, never have I doubted, not the slightest doubt, that I was sent to Rogersville. Never. Through all the hard times, through all the thick and the thin and the trouble and the hardness, and we've been through it. I want to tell, and listen, Miss Paul Sue, all of those that was here before me. Are y'all listening? I wasn't the first pastor. This church has been hit and beat and stomped and kicked and everything. Miss Betty, ain't that right? 13 people when I came here, and it was dead as 4 o'clock, discouragement. It was awful. My first response was when I came in that morning, I preached because this is open door and this place to preach, you know, and I wasn't interested. I wasn't interested. Y'all heard me tell that. I'm not going to go back into all that again. I wasn't interested, amen? But something happened. Something happened. It didn't happen in one service. It didn't happen in 5 services. It happened over a progression of time. Amen. That God started putting RBT in my heart and started putting me in RBT's heart and hooked us up together in September of 92. Oh, glory. And I've never doubted that. And I said, God, it'll have to be that. Actually, it's going to have to be more clearer than that at any point in my life when there's a time for a change in that area. Are y'all listening to me? Now, if that's good for me, that ought to be good for the pew. If that's what governs me in the pulpit and in my position of leadership, Brother Samuel, don't you think that would be equally applicable to the pew? That is, you should not make a move until it was so clear. So clear. Well, hallelujah, Lord. I'm just getting a good amen in my heart that God said, yep, you're on it. You're on it. It didn't say evade hardness. It didn't say escape hardness. Amen. Escaping hardness is a little different than avoiding it, evading it, avoiding it. Escaping it is getting out of it. Look for an exit. Amen. Did you know that when hardness comes, not tithing is going to feel good? When hardness comes, being unfaithful to church is probably going to feel good. Getting up on Sunday morning, the couch is going to feel better than the pew. Staying inside of a warm house is going to be better than getting out in 13 degrees and getting in a cold car. Whoop! Are y'all listening? We're not to evade hardness. We're not to escape hardness. Listen, it did not even say in this verse to enjoy hardness. I don't want to hear you stand and testify and say, glory to God for my troubles. Hallelujah, I love it. I hope I get more of it. That may sound spiritual and right, but I probably wouldn't believe a word of it. Nor would you believe that if I said it. The Bible didn't say a thing here about enjoying hardness. It said enduring hardness. Enduring hardness. Where can I ask y'all something? What has happened to that old-fashioned endurance of God's people? Preachers included. What's happened to that? Those generation before us, that I had the privilege to hear several of them preach, Dr. Seitler, Mays Jackson, B.R. Lakin, Dr. Percy Ray, and a lot of those giants of the past. J. Harold Smith, people that I've heard in person. People that's influenced my life early in my Christian life. Brother Mike, if they had been like today's Christians, they would have never been the giants they were. Buddy, they went through it. Hardships, adversity, trials, difficulties of every description and on every level. But they chose to stay true to God. A lot of those martyrs, you ought to get the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, read that. You ought to get the little small pamphlet called The Trail of Blood if you want to know something about our Baptist heritage and our Baptist. It's easy to track us through history. It's a trail of blood, and they named the book that. You think that we got the freedom we've got today without somebody paying the price? I'm talking about a freedom in America. Do you think our American freedom, the envy of the world? Brother Randy, why is it that everybody in every country is trying to get here? We've got freedom that come with the price of blood and people giving their life and sacrificing. What if those soldiers had this little mamby-pamby Christian idea? I'm just going to fight when it feels good. I'm going to stand for what feels good. And we'd never have the America we've got today. It said endure. It said endure hardness. I wrote this down. I want you to listen to it. Lord, give this to me. Much hardness can be avoided if it's okay with you for the enemy to have what is valuable and meaningful. If it's okay for you, if it's okay for you personally, for the enemy to have what is valuable in your life, you can avoid some problems. You can avoid some. But I've just got a good hunch whatever a hunch is. Amen. I got a good hunch in my soul that we've got people listening this morning that it's not okay. Parents, it's not okay to give up your children to the enemy. It's not okay to give up ministry. It's not okay to quit fighting for our church. It's not okay to quit fighting for the fundamentals of the faith. It's not okay. I want to say that again. Everybody listening? I want to say it again. Much hardness can be avoided if it's okay with you for the enemy to have what is valuable and meaningful. Giving the enemy, here another the Lord gave me, giving the enemy what he wants will never win a war. If the devil fights you, Brother Craig, in an area, and basically behind that he's saying, I want this. I want this. And you give that to him. And that, by the way, hello, by the way, that's the only way he can have it is if you give it to him. He's got to have your will. He's got to have your consent to do his damage. That's why he's so deceptive. He can talk you into giving him what you will regret the rest of your life. He will talk you into giving him cheaply, without a fight, giving to him what you will tomorrow or within a few minutes realize, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? Devil comes to young people and he says, here, smoke this, drink this, take this, snort this. And they're caught up in the moment of all of their peers, you know, aggravating them and calling them names and, I won't hurt you. One won't hurt. And then the next thing you know, they're thinking, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? I knew better. I knew better. I heard the preacher preach against it. I knew better. I knew better. I heard grandma tell me, don't ever do that. I heard mom and daddy say, don't ever do that. But I knew better. Oh, the devil is a lying cheat. He is a shyster. I want to tell you, friend, the devil, listen, is so deceptive. You're no match for him. He can talk you into, if he can get you listening, he can talk you in to giving up everything and anything in your life that's valuable and meaningful. And then you'll have to live without it. Amen. Well, hallelujah, anyhow. I'm not getting near where I thought I was going to get, but that's okay. Giving the enemy what he wants will never win any wars. When you give him one thing, do you think that he's going to stop? Say, okay, that's all I wanted. I don't want nothing else. That's okay. I just wanted that one little thing. I'm not interested in nothing else in your life. You think that's true? Negative. He gets one thing. And then he's coming back to get another. When David went after the lion that had the lamb in his mouth, remember that story? I think I preached that here. I know I preached it elsewhere. I don't know if I preached it here or not. But Jeter, when he went after that, do you think that was the first lamb? Do you think that was the first lamb that lion had ever tasted? What if David would have had the modern day thought? Okay, lion, go ahead, you can have that. That's just one. That's the only one. You can have that. No. You think the lion's going to go off over the hill with that one in his mouth saying, thank you, I won't be back. You got a flock of what I just got a taste of. I won't be back. You can have the rest. If you believe that, you're a fool. When he gets through digesting that and devouring that and there's nothing left but fragments and just a passing memory, he will be back to get another and then another and then another and another until there's nothing left. Why do you think the Bible says in 1 Peter, telling us cast all of our cares upon him, for he careth for us, chapter 5, verse 7, Verse 8, he said, listen, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Devour. And the next verse said, whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He's got ultimate devouring in mind when he's after you, your family, your purity, your home, everything. He wants full-blown destruction. Oh my goodness, I don't know if you're getting it. I really don't know if we're feeling the weight of it as I feel it in my soul. How many people are out of church today because of hardness? Or they're using that as their excuse or their exit. How many preachers that I started out with that are not even preaching today because of hardness? Brother Aaron, they didn't quit because it was easy. They didn't quit because it was sunshiny and everything was hunky-dory and the ministry was tropical. No. They got tired of the fighting and they got tired of the division and they got tired of the disunity and they got tired of all of that. And finally, one day, they come to the place where they were beat down to the point that they said, I'm done. I am done. Preachers' wives looking at her husband and saying, I'm done. I know names. I could give you names. It's not important, but I could give you names. We supported a missionary up in the Northwest. And I actually went there and preached revival for him. And I'm telling him, doing a great work. Unbelievable. I sat at their table and ate. I was there, involved there for a whole week. Are you listening? I never saw it. I never seen no indications. One day her husband walks in from having been out in ministry and handing out tracts and serving, and she looks at him and she says, I am done. I'm through. I don't want to be a preacher's wife no more. I don't want to be a missionary no more. I'm done. Did that come about? Hey, are y'all helping me? Did that come about because everything was easy? Did that come about because everything was wonderful and fine? You better learn the truth. I hadn't got to it. I'm not going to get to it this morning. But you better learn what's in that word endure. You better make sure that that's still the last card you have in your hand to play, buddy, is just endurance. When there's nothing left, you better endure. When you don't feel like it, you better endure. When it looks like the easy route would be to not, you better deny the feeling and the reasoning and listen, endure. I'm not enduring to be saved. That's not even New Testament grace, church, dispensation, truth. We're not saved because we endure. We're saved because he endured. Are you listening? My endurance, Brother Craig, right here is not to do with me being saved. This endurance right here maybe have something to do with whether others get saved or not. Because if I quit, those that I'm supposed to win to the Lord, those that I'm going to preach to, those that's going to get saved under my ministry, Brother Jeter, if I quit, who's going to win them? Some of them probably will be won by some, but some of them may not get won. There's people God wants you to win to the Lord that probably nobody else will ever be able to win them to Jesus. And if you kick out and throw your spirituality out the window, throw your morals out the window and go to the dogs, I want to tell you who is going to win those people to the Lord. And let me tell you, friend, God have mercy at the liberty I got. I want to tell you, friend, you're going to meet those people one day. You're going to meet all those people one day. And it's called the White Throne Judgment. You're going to meet those people. And we don't, Brother Mike, we don't have any insight in Scripture about if there's going to be any conversation between them and us or none of that. But what if, Miss Betty, what if? What if one of those that God wanted you to win, whether it was your daddy or your mama or your brother or sister or your neighbor, somebody you went to school with, and you kicked out when it was important for you to live for God. You was more interested in being popular, and you was more interested in the pats on the back, and you was more interested in being accepted and fitting in with the crowd and being liked than you were living for the Lord. Brother Mark, what if that one person comes up at the judgment seat, or not the judgment seat, but the white throne judgment, getting ready to be bound hand and foot and cast into the lake of fire forever, and look over there at you and say, why? You knew the truth, and you kept it to yourself. And instead of living it in front of me, you kicked out, and you drank like we drank, and you cussed like we cussed, and you went where we went, and you did what we did. By the way, I don't even think that person saved. I'm just going to the extreme there with that example. Why didn't you tell me? The root cause, thank you, Jesus, the root cause behind carnality and worldliness is selfishness. When you quit, you don't quit because you're thinking of others. When you throw in the towel, listen, I'm preaching to myself as well. When you throw in the towel and quit on God, I'm going to tell you, or even get slack on God, you're not thinking about others. You're not thinking about sinners. You're not even thinking about your church family. You're not thinking about who you're going to hurt. You're not thinking about that. Brother Ben, what would it do to you if Preacher Ackley kicked out? He said it would crush him. What do you think it does to me, Brother Ben, when I see people kick out? Kills me. Kills me. I can't tell you how bad and deeply that it hurts. But quitting is not an option. I'm being honest now. These girls, and all of you, I've preached to you, I love you. If I didn't care about you, I wouldn't preach to you the truth. And endurance wouldn't be on my schedule if I didn't love you. Amen. It's God's will for me to preach to you. Listen, if all four of these girls right here kicked out, it would kill me. No, it would crush me. It would crush me. I would weep and cry. But by the grace of God, quitting would not be the option. It would hurt me if this front pew was empty and there was no smiling faces and there was no ensemble and there was no ensemblets and there was no youth choir. Oh, I couldn't tell you what that would do to me. But I want to tell you, dear friend, by the grace of God, and I say it with all my heart, by the grace of God, I will carry on. And the reason I can say that is because I've been living. I've had my heart ripped out. You've come to church here, you know all about these things over the past months and couple of years or so. But I'm still here. I'm here today. I'm preaching. I've got a message from God. Preaching with a burden. Hallelujah. Oh, when heaven shuts up with toward me with messages, then I know it's probably time for my departure. But as long, Brother Aaron, as God is feeding me and saying, preach this, there's hope for us, there's help for us, if we will receive it. Amen. I didn't even hardly get nowhere. Let me just give you this right here. Write this down. I don't even know what time it is. It's not important. I want you to write these things down. I wrote this down. The Lord gave this to me this morning, early this morning. God uses hardness. God uses hardness. He does so for this reason, or for these reasons. Our faith in God will be developed in hardness. Our faith in God will be developed. When it gets hard, Brother Carroll, you know what our option is? Trust God. God, I don't understand. I don't know why. I don't know the what for. I don't know how long. But Lord, I can trust you. Son, I felt something right there. I felt a witness in my heart, Brother Mike, right there. Right there. God is saying that hardness comes into our life to wean us away from self-dependence and increase and develop our trust in God. Goodness. When hard times come and you get discouraged and quit and throw in the towel or at least thinking about it, you know what that is? You've got dependence on yourself. Your trust is in yourself. But God sometimes will let hard times, hardness come in your life to develop, amen, develop your faith and your trust in God. Amen. Four times in the scripture, God says the just shall live by faith. The second reason, man, I could preach a whole message on this, but I'm not, listen. The second reason God allows hardness to come and sends hardness, not only that our faith in God would be developed, but our fellowship with God will be deepened. Our fellowship with God will be deepened. John on the Isle of Patmos, isolated. Guess what he did? The Bible said he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day. On the Isle of Patmos of all places. And guess what happened in chapter 1? He heard behind him a voice and he had fellowship with God. Your faith will be developed, or listen, your fellowship with God will be deepened. They can't put you in a hole deep enough that it will take you, separate you from God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, hallelujah and hell. Thirdly, hardness comes so that our fundamentals from God are defended. God lets hardness come so we'll fight. Not fight each other, but we'll fight to defend the fundamentals of the faith. Here's you something if you want to write it down. The enemy will never fight over what is optional. And you can say this right here, right there. Wow. If it's optional to him, he won't fight you for it. If it's optional to you, he probably won't fight you for it. But when something is valuable and meaningful to you, he'll fight you for that. If you start devaluing things, it won't be but just a short period of time till you'll quit defending those things. When you start letting your separation and your convictions and your relationship to the Bible and your relationship to church and your all of those things, I could name a list. When you start letting those things become less valuable, in other words, you start to devalue those things, it won't be long till you'll quit standing up for them. You'll quit defending them. And then it won't be long till they'll be placed upon the auction block for sale in your life. The devil never fights over what's optional. Our faith in God is developed. Our fellowship with God is deepened. Our fundamentals from God are defended. And number four, our future for God is delightful. After the war's over, after the fight's over, after the battle's over, you'll be glad that you stayed with the stuff because of the benefits and the blessings that you can pass on to somebody else. When you quit, when you throw in the towel, when you get slack, when you back up, verse number 2 is the verse that's going to suffer. You'll not be able to hand off to others what has been given to you. Goodness. Or how much truth? Wonder how much truth has been lost because of somebody dropping the ball spiritually.